We shouldn't start with butt plugs and then go directly into talking about your girlfriend.
No, she had never heard of prolapsed anuses, and she was like looking that up on the internet on Sunday. She's like, "What is this?"
And that's like, and that's the cold open. That's,
also, we are recording.
Like, are we recording? Because that's we should have.
Live from Monster Dome, deep underneath and yet somehow still five stories above Austin, Texas, this is Inside the Locker, the geekiest sportscast you've ever heard.
It's been a long time. Shouldn't have left you without a dope beat. Step two. All right, everybody, welcome back to Inside the Locker, the No Flex Zone. My name is Ramon Ramirez. With me, as always, the starting five, Adam Beef Nuggets, Chicken Nuggets, Italian Nuggets, Charles.
I'm all the nuggets.
Elliot Fontanet is in the building.
How y'all doing?
JC DeLeon is in the house.
What's up?
The producer, Logan Urey.
Hello.
And musical guest, my dog Penny, will be barking in the background from time to time. Fellas, we have a lot to unpack. We hope everyone's had a great week and everyone is excited for a great week. We are that much closer to football, so I know that we're all just kind of tingling. We're getting ready for fantasy. We're going to discuss a little bit of fantasy football. We're going to discuss the Tom Brady situation because we kind of have to. You guys are welcome to tune out during that part. I know that people are talking about that right around the clock. We're going to get into headlines. It should be a fun episode. Maybe not. I don't know if this is gonna be like the best episode, but it might be.
Let's set those expectations. Let's clear that bar.
It'll be kind of okay.
Discuss things, and then we're just gonna talk.
We're gonna talk.
Maybe we'll make you laugh. Maybe we won't.
Yeah, you might dislike it.
So kick off your shoes, relax your feet.
Yep.
Party on down to that next two street and just kick it.
With us. Quite a bit to unpack. But I guess before we do that, I just kind of want to ask you guys, like, how are you guys doing? Like, how are you guys feeling? Everyone okay? Adam, you were off next week. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
How was your birthday?
Oh, it was great. So my wife and I, we just moved into a new house.
Congratulations.
Thank you for that, too. A few weeks ago, and finally, we had family over for our birthday weekend because my wife's birthday was actually the week right before that. So house looks great. Birthday was great. My wife just pulls no punches when it comes to, or she spares no expense to whatever it is that she wants to put together, and
she really doesn't. She's a master planner.
Yeah.
Now when you say your wife, do you mean Rebecca, or do you mean, you know? No, I'm kidding. No, that's great. Well, fantastic. And Logan, producer on the boards, you know, he's tweaking the knobs. He's making it rain all night. He's working hard for you. Logan, what's going on, man?
Oh, I'm just trying to piece together this mess that is my life.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, damn. Yeah, so we record this the show at my office. And I say that only because, like, I'm sort of, I guess, by proxy, kind of a host, and so I just kind of want to make sure that everyone's feeling okay. You guys got your sparkling waters. You guys got yourselves, you know, nice and refreshed. We want to make sure everybody comes in manicured and good to go. All right, let's jump into it. Let's get into some headlines. You know, I always pause like there's some kind of headline music. There's no headline music, you know.
There used to be.
Well, yeah, that's on Brian.
Right. Yeah.
We can make that happen if you want.
Eventually, you know, let's... yeah, exactly. Well, actually,
there we go. Headline music.
There you go. I'm gonna like. Oh, you know what I'm gonna do? Here we go. Let's get into some headlines, and then I'm gonna play. That's my dog squeaking.
Penny
in the background.
Is so happy about it.
Hey, we're gonna try again. Let's backtrack. All right, everybody, let's get into some headlines.
Yeah,
it's headlines by Drake.
I dig it.
It's like a sprained ankle.
So. All right, let's
and that's
do
all
this.
We have the rights for. So shut it off.
That's all we got.
Hey, you can write a diss track against us, and
okay,
we can get a lot
Penny
more viewers.
Okay, Penny, play that on your squeaky toy.
Yes, yeah, so we're gonna. All right. So anyway, all right. So a former Florida State player, who wasn't even a player, he was a ball boy, and looks like he's got some big plans. What's going on, Jason?
But he was just as legendary as all the FSU players were at the time. Frankie Grizzle, aka Red Lightning. Has gone pro. No, he did not become a football player overnight. He is gone to the Atlanta Falcons, and he will be a ball boy for them.
That's beautiful.
Awesome. His name is actually Grizzle.
His name is Frankie Grizzle.
It's not like Grill. They're like, oh, yeah. What's up, Grizzle?
I mean, according to the story, they're calling him Frankie Grizzle, a.k.a. Red Lightning. And I imagine if the a.k.a. is Red Lightning, you wouldn't also add Grizzle to your...
Yes, Mr. Lightning.
Now, is this like a novelty, or has this guy got a shot to make the team?
I mean, he's probably going to make the team. If you've seen highlights of him, and I do say highlights, of him when he was in Florida State. He could actually keep pace with a lot of the Florida State running backs as they would break for long touchdowns. He would be right there, stride for stride, running on the sideline, ready to give the ball to the referee and then go back to the sideline.
Yeah, I love it. He's not a skinny dude. It's actually pretty uncommon to have to have a celebrity
Mr. Ball
chain
boy.
Mover.
Right. Yeah. And he's called Red Lightning because he is a ginger, but he's a little ginger ball of energy. And
it sounds like the guy from Sandlot just grew up and became that ball boy.
Maybe.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Inside the locker, we're all about trolling, and we appreciate a good dick move. So the Marlins did
this.
That's
an everybody?
Yeah, everyone likes a good dick. Everybody loves a good dick move. JC, what happened in baseball this week?
So the Marlins actually in a pretty ballsy move because they're not very good.
A ballsy dick move.
Yeah. They last night they were playing the Washington Nationals, and during the Nationals batting practice over the PA system, they'll frequently do things like play some soft rock music or like music from the band Chicago or stuff like that. But last night
the good stuff. The good stuff. Yeah.
Last night they were playing fart noises during the Washington Nationals batting practice. Yeah. It didn't make Bryce Harper very happy. In that game, he went on to hit two home runs, including one that he hit so far. Keep in mind, this was in Miami, so he was the road player. Hit the ball so far that he got a standing ovation from the Marlins fans.
That's sensational.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this story is, we want to play this one straight because this is actually a really fantastic story that, makes us feel good and makes us feel like we're living in 2015. A groundbreaking new coach headed to the NFL. What's the deal?
This is an interesting one. I didn't know that NFL teams have coaching interns, and I imagine it sort of makes sense, I guess, during training camp. But Dr. Jen Welter, I forgot to read up on what her doctorate is in, but she has multiple degrees in things like psychology, athletic, like physiology, stuff like that. She is a linebacker coach for the Arizona Cardinals, making her the first woman NFL coach.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Hopefully it leads to a full-time position. Patrick Peterson has actually gone on and tweeted her praise. And
LSU player right there.
Yeah. And, I think...
For those of you that didn't know, Elliot, I think he likes LSU or something. I don't understand it.
Love purple, live gold.
I'm sorry. Please finish, JC.
No, so she's got an interesting resume. She's played in a women's professional football league that wasn't the lingerie league, but like a legit league. These aren't leagues that are, have tons of fans or anything like that, but it's still professional football. She has, in one amateur men's league, played. She played for a couple of years and even played running back for a little bit. So she knows her stuff. She's a muscular woman. Like, she looks the part of a coach. I don't imagine there being a lot of negative connotations towards this.
So on the scale of, I don't know, what's the female coach's name for San Antonio Spurs?
Becky Hammon.
So on the scale of Becky Hammon to Goldie Hawn and Wildcats, where exactly does she fall in
She's
line?
Right above Eddie in Whoopi Goldberg's movie with the Knicks.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Parallel.
It's an interesting thing, though, because I remember when we talked about Becky Hammon and basketball being my favorite sport, and I played it for such a long time, and I know kind of the way basketball players think. Like, it's a very game-recognized game sport. So is MMA fighting to a certain extent. You can look at Ronda Rousey training with men.
Gender neutral to some degree.
Right, yeah. Football's not so much like that. So it's going to be kind of interesting. I think it is a good and gracious move for Patrick Peterson to tweet nice things about her. Although I do think in this climate, and it's not like NFL players are going to say and do things to her.
That's true.
And have that go over well.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think in this day and age, I think we were joking like the night that Caitlyn Jenner gave her speech at the ESPYs that every single agent was on the phone with his athletes and were just like, "Stay the fuck off Twitter."
Yeah,
I swear to God.
Right.
I swear to God. I think most NFL players are media savvy enough to keep any negative comments to themselves, and that'll just help the greater conversation. So that's pretty fucking cool. Yeah. All right, a story that is considerably less serious, but also kind of funny. What's the deal?
And they've got some time to get it right. And they've got some time to get it right. The 2016 Olympics are going to be in Rio de Janeiro. And so I guess now they're kind of starting the process of testing some of the facilities and testing, you know, some of the equipment that they'll be using. And I guess in that part of the world, they can only use the water that's around the city. Well, the trouble with that water, they found out, is it's full of poop.
Mm. Yeah, it has like, is it like 14 parts per million? Again? Which is like...
a lot of poop.
I don't know. Yeah, LA, like, well, they get worried if it's 1,000 parts per million.
Yeah, the exact quote is, rife with human sewage. And so... obviously there, yeah. Obviously there are.
Obviously, Michael Phelps is changing his mind. Yeah.
And there was a Brazilian official. Exact quote was, "Well, that's one big pile of shit."
I just imagine Jeff Goldblum as Brazilian.
But they'll get it right now. One last headline I wanted to sneak in here very, very quickly. I think the most this week, the most meme worthy coach of the last year. His name was Miguel Herrera, the coach of the Mexican team. You remember that great Dragon Ball Z GIF? He got fired on Monday, and it's been a real heartbreaking week, I think, for fans of the Mexican team.
What was up
team.
With that? Like, I thought they were doing – didn't they just win something?
They won the Gold Cup on Sunday.
And you're fired.
And he got fired on Monday because at the Philadelphia airport, he beat up a journalist that was trashing him in the media, and then there was footage that came out.
Well,
and,
that'll do it.
And then he got
did he say anything while he beat him up that was bad?
The videos.
Does there need to be more?
There really does need to be more.
Yeah, when you're a public figure, you're a target for criticism, and so if a reporter is criticizing you, that's just kind of the way sports are. You don't get to do it. There's nothing you get to do. Now, that said, Mexicans like Miguel Herrera, especially more rural Mexicans, he really taps into that kind of, you know, that sort of like brave spirit. That they like to believe embodies the national team. And he also was good about getting the players involved and the players kind of jacked to play. So it is sad, I think, emotionally, because he's always been a hothead. Miguel Herrera got cut from the 1994 World Cup roster because he also got red carded in a big game and got kicked out. So he's always been a hothead. That's what's going to define him. But, if you haven't seen it yet, that gif of Miguel Herrera doing the Dragon Ball Z thing.
That gif.
That gif.
Tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato. I think it's a tomato, tomato thing.
Stands for graphic. Something. I know the first word is graphic.
Yeah, but like
it's not graphic.
The guy that invented them. The guy that invented them said it's GIF.
Like maybe he just liked peanut butter. And he was like,
it's intended to be pronounced GIF. Like
okay,
but also I don't give a shit.
I'm just giving you a shit.
I don't like because yeah,
I don't give a shit.
There's people that will just like look at you funny, like Elliot apparently. Like if you say you say that word and use a pronunciation that they don't like. In any case, Miguel Herrera. You can't beat up a journalist at the airport, and he is no longer the coach of the Mexican national team. You're not my dad. The Mexican team has had now 14 coaches since 1999. They like to fire them, and there's a lot of BS. So it's messy and it's depressing, and they just want to go.
The Raiders of the soccer world.
Yeah, exactly. The Raiders of the soccer world. There's always something that's going to sabotage them. And the crazy thing is,
except they win.
There was a report today that the president of Mexico, not the president of the Mexican Federation, the actual El Presidente,
is that
right?
Vicente Fox?
No, it is what's his the guy with the fuck is his name? Pre-party
Obama.
PRI party. I'm blanking, but the point is that the president of Mexico today reportedly had a hand in telling the Federation to fire the coach. Like, that's how big a deal it is. Oh. They were just like, we can't have this guy representing Mexico.
That's a little improper,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, so it's
Enrique Nieto.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Nieto. Anyway,
I love how we have to look up Mexican politics, but we know.
No, I knew that shit off the top of my head.
We know who technically the former head coach of the Mexican
I think it's
Gold
like,
Cup winning team is.
It's like Peña Nieto or something like that. It's like a hyphenated name.
Yeah.
anyway, so there you go. It's a bummer, but we will not be having any more super sweet gifs or gifs of that guy. And then this is probably the biggest story of the week. This is the story that's dominated. I would say it's very easily. This is kind of the sad state of social media, where the biggest story of the year is a hashtag, Deflategate, Tom Brady, NFL this week ruling that Tom Brady will be suspended for the first four games of the season, citing the fact that he destroyed his phone, text messages. Fellas, what do you guys think of the situation? Now before, I know Elliot does not like Tom Brady, does not like the Patriots, does not like the idea of cheating, but legally, as a lawyer, what do you feel?
Well, there's a concept where, and I'm not sure because like I don't do this type of law, but I remember from law school it was like if you destroy evidence the trier of fact is allowed to assume that it was damaging to you. Mm. Like, if you just store material evidence to the investigation. So Tom Brady's sitting there like, I know, I'll just store my phone. Motherfucker, call your lawyer before you do this shit.
Yeah.
And like, just stop fucking whining and take your 4-game suspension. They're not taking away Super Bowl. Nobody's getting banned for life. Just fucking stop being a baby and take your punishment.
Yeah, Jesus. It does kind of seem like at this point it's the equivalent of like taking a jaywalking ticket to like the Supreme Court and being like, I didn't jaywalk. Yeah. I'm not paying this $50 ticket.
Or, you know what, at this point, if it was me, even if I didn't do it, at this point I'd be like, you know what, fine, okay, I did it. I don't care. Who cares? Really, just, if he and the team were a little bit more... Is it really that big of a fucking deal?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. Sorry, if we did it, I'm not even saying we did. If we did it, it's a pound and a half of air. Yeah. I apologize. I'll serve our 4 games. I'll come back. We'll win.
And it seems to be like his big thing is if he accepts any kind of suspension, that's an admission of guilt. But like, I don't know. From public perception, like the genie's never getting put in that bottle again.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Let's say you didn't do it. Let's say you didn't do it. Like, you are Tom Brady, and you know in your heart of hearts that you didn't do it. And you got a 4-game suspension. You're going to take that line down?
That's not where I take my fight.
Yeah, is that the hill you want to die on? Like, even if you're, you know, that's a thing that you have to tell clients sometimes. It's like, it's not that you're right. It's if you can prove you're right.
Mm.
It's like, dude, if you can't prove it, I'm sorry. Like, there's not much you can do.
You know what? That's a great point. It's like, you can't prove that you didn't do it. So if you can't prove that you didn't do it, this is going to be something that's going to it's going to go on with you forever, only because you're choosing not to let it go.
Yeah,
and like, if just let it go.
It feels like this is like a situation where he didn't learn a lesson that you learn when you become an adult. It's like, you forgive people for you. Like, you get over shit, even if you've been wrong for you, so you can move on and be productive. Like, I've been wrong, like, 5 times this year, like, harshly. But you know what you do? You go, I still got to work with these people.
Mm-hmm.
I still got to be around this person. Like, I'm going to just try my best to move on, because that's what adults do. And Tom Brady's acting like a spoiled child.
I'm pretty sure that they train you how to be an adult when you're a professional athlete.
That's part of the thing, yeah. All right. Still. 4 games. You know, a lot of shoddy work in the indicting evidence. I don't know. I don't like the idea that the NFL just can kind of like, will, you know, like, how about this? This is something that was tweeted by a Boston area reporter, but he said, hey, look, week 4 or week 5, whichever, I think it's week 5, Dallas plays New England, right? Mm-hmm. Greg Hardy is going to be on the field for the Cowboys. Tom Brady is not. Doesn't that make the NFL look terrible?
No. It's an unfortunate... Well, one, Greg Hardy did... Greg Hardy was punished, I guess, equally as Tom Brady was. However, Greg Hardy did also miss an entire year. So, tack on 16 games to the 4 that he's going to... that he's serving. He's missed a total of 20 games. I mean, and beyond that, I mean, yes, it is kind of... It's a weird way to look at it. Yes, they meet in week 5, and it's just happens to be a thing of the schedule, the fact that Tom Brady is... The 4th game for New England is after their bye week. So... It's Dallas's 5th game. It's New England's 4th.
But here's the thing.
Real quick, I just want to say, I just poured a Coca-Cola into a glass, and it made like a funky fizzy sound, and Logan, our technical producer, looked like he wanted to punch me in the face. Just like, God damn it. So I apologize. I won't do that anymore.
You Cherry Coke Zero drinking motherfucker.
Cherry Coke Zero. You have to blow up my spot like that.
It's missed with Jack, so I mean,
I do like
it's not
cherry
just
Coke.
Drinking cherry Coke just to drink cherry Coke.
I am drinking a Fresca with nothing, so
it's alright. I'm pretty sure I screwed up the podcast plenty of times before than that.
All right, so Elliot, you were saying?
God, I forgot. Honestly, like, it just left me.
Oh, it's so the fairness of whether of Greg Hardy being on the field to play.
Oh yeah, it's like, you know,
Tom
one of
Brady
the things
not.
Again, like, you sort of learn, it's like, if you're getting punished, it's sort of a dick move to be like, well, but they did this, and it's like, dude. It's independent. Like, you couldn't have adjusted. You couldn't have the society if every time somebody got punished, it had to be less than or greater than somebody. It's the same thing with like movie reviews, because some people will come back and say, you gave X movie 7, but you gave this movie 9,
mm-hmm.
and
they're practically kind of the same movie.
Well, 7 is
like
a better movie than that. The movie you gave 7 is a better movie than the movie you gave 9.
Right,
but it's like a different situation each time,
mm-hmm.
and it's like it. Only immature people, which I mean, football fans, will be pissed.
Yeah, and I mean they're not comparable situations. And I understand. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Dallas fan, but if you told me that Greg Hardy was going to be like just forever banned from the NFL, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah,
I really don't care that much. I'm not saying that Tom Brady is not punished. Okay, what's the best way to put it? Greg Hardy is underpunished.
Yeah,
like you can make the argument that way. Like, okay, fine. If you're going to give Tom Brady 4 games, all these other people who have done much more horrendous shit in real life, do something a little bit more extreme to them. Mm-hmm. But 4 games for somebody who legitimately broke the rules and could to some degree have had an impact on games, not the game where in which the whole deflate game thing came up, they were going to win that game regardless. But you make the suggestion that if they did it there, they've done it many times before.
And that's, I think, the bigger issue. It's like, because like they've been dinged on this shit before with Spygate. And I think a provision of that agreement when they took that punishment was if it happened again, it's like Belichick was going to get banned.
Yeah. Well, so let me ask you this. Yeah, because the thing about Deflategate is around the league, tinkering is pretty common. And exactly like you guys said, you know, had the Patriots been like, look, yeah, we're like all quarterbacks, I was being, you know, overly controlling with the football, I apologize, I'll do what I got to do. Do you really think he would have just gotten the 4-game suspension? You don't think they would have stripped records, or they would have kicked him out of the Super Bowl, or I mean, do you is 4 games?
No, I think you're right. Like, posturing can get you, like, it's called the Overton window. Like, if you debate so far to this one level, you can push the argument over to your area. So by him being so virulent in his opposition, he pushes that penalty down. But he's past that point now. Mm. Like, he's already won that.
Yeah.
It's like, I even argued at the time. Like, it kind of is a joke, but at the time, he probably could have been gone to a podium and been like, yeah, I did it. What are you guys going to do, suspend me for the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
But couldn't they have done that?
They could have.
I mean, they could have.
Wouldn't they have done that?
You know what? This is the dumbass thing about it.
You don't like it? Sanction me.
They could have done anything, because there's no fucking rule, or there's no punishment in the rule book designed for, okay, if you're going to break this particular rule, this is the penalty.
Yeah.
Whenever you establish a rule, there is usually an established punishment to go along with that.
Yeah.
You know, that way you know if you're going to break the rules, okay, well, these are the consequences. So if you're just going to make shit up on the fly.
But that's by design with the NFL.
Well, all right, Elliot, let me ask you this, because this is what I don't understand. All right, you get a 4-game suspension, okay? And then it comes to light that you destroyed evidence and tampered with an investigation. Why do you not get an additional punishment?
Oh, because, like, I mean, it's probably just that the NFL doesn't want any worse PR. That's probably why they said, you know, you did this shit. If you want to take us to federal court, fuck it. We'll go to federal court. If you feel in Froggy, jump.
Yeah.
Let's both go to court and see what's what.
I love it. I like the fabulous line there. Everybody was using that line back in the day.
That's my dad's line.
That would have been actually kind of interesting. I would have liked them to see doing something like that. Like, okay, you want to take us to federal court? Okay, you know what? But if you lose, it's 6 games.
Yeah. All right. Very quick, yes or no, JC, you're good with 4-game suspension?
Given...
Yes or no question. Okay. Ellie, yes or no question?
Yes.
Adam, yes.
With 4? No. With 4?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I still think it's just, I don't feel like they actually got him on anything, and so I still don't like the idea that he gets this, like, dumb, arbitrary Goodell. Like, it's one of those things, if it was Paul Tagliabue, if it was Pete Rozelle, if it was not Goodell. Roger Goodell, it wouldn't be a 4-game suspension.
No, that's valid. Because I just kind of look at it as a judge being like, you're putting me through all this trouble for a speeding ticket, I'm going to throw the book at you for wasting my time.
And I like that.
But
like
who
that
does
too.
The judge get mad at is like the thing.
Now, guys, we do have one apologist for Tom Brady who was nice enough to call in. So let me go to – I'm going to play some – like I'm going to get him on the phone here. I actually have to call him on my iPhone. Logan's going to open up a soda, and I'm going to play you guys a little bit of Drake. I hope you guys like Drake. So I'm going to pay Drake while I get him on the phone. So just a moment. And let me just pull up my iPhone 5.
Apple's sponsoring this podcast.
Pulling up my iPhone 5. This shit is buffering, so fuck it. All right, we got him on the line live. From, I don't know how to pronounce the city, like, Worcester? Worcester? Massachusetts.
It has a sauce.
It's Boston Rob. Boston Rob, what's going on?
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call and inviting me to the ticket or whatever the show is called. As you can imagine, I called in to defend the honor of New England's favorite son, touchdown Tommy Brady. The suspension was upheld, and I haven't been this disappointed since my sister Maria came back from a semester abroad in Ireland married to a dude named Patty. What the fuck kind of name for a dude is Patty anyways? Now, the next thing I know is I got a bunch of ginger-headed nieces and nephews with Hispanic first names and Mick last names. You think Patty is a ridiculous name? What about my favorite nephew, Carlos O'Houlihan? That poor bastard is going to have a rough playground life. But back to Tommy and his being the greatest human ever. As I've stated before, Tommy is not a cheater, and the fact that he destroyed his phone doesn't mean jack shit. Why should Tom have had to turn his phone over to the commissioner? What was Roger Goodell going to go to his buddies and be like, "You guys like apples? I got his number. How you like them apples?" And now people are wondering if it's going to hurt his legacy, as if he didn't start 6 Super Bowls, winning 4 of them to cement his status as football Jesus incarnate. This summer, he only added to his legacy by turning in a grandiose performance in Ted 2 that is sure to win him an Oscar. How's that for your fucking legacy? Besides, as evidenced by this past season, the only reason Tommy may have deflated those balls in the first place was to give everyone else a fair chance, because he is God's gift to football. So there you have it. Tommy Brady and those piercing blue eyes didn't cheat. Or if they did, it was to give everyone a chance. You destroy that phone, Tommy. It'll help keep me out of jail with the stalking charges and whatnot. It's okay, buddy. I forgive you. Bye.
All right, Boston Rob, always a pleasure. Thank you for calling in. Well, guys, let's unpack that a little bit. These Patriots fans are going to go to their grave believing that Tom Brady didn't do anything wrong.
I don't think he made a lot of good points.
Yeah, I think it's a deeply flawed argument.
And that, they also live in Boston, one of the shittiest cities in the world, so they got to have something to hold on to.
I like Boston.
I thought you said Boston. Fuck Boston.
I've been to Boston. I actually like it.
Well, I'm going to say Boston has really weird racial politics. City. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, you know, people always say that Boston is really racist, but
you know, if they would have been granted the Olympics in 2024, their water wouldn't have poop in it, or probably not as much. Probably,
yeah, I was like, poop. Not as much. Let's not give them too much fucking credit.
Yeah,
Mark Wahlberg would have been the fucking commissioner.
It'd be the least of shitty waters that they could have picked.
So Boston Rob raises an interesting question, and that's, you know, like, is the NFL, like, why, you know, the NFL could have just, like, no, actually, I have no, he did no points. Poor points across the board. That was a poor.
I mean, I got to side with him. What kind of fucking male name is Patty?
Oh, that's a pretty,
well, what
pretty
kind common. Of name is Carlos O'Houlihan?
He is right. That kid's going to have a rough life.
Yeah, he's going to be rough.
It's like his culture is an onomatopoeia.
Speaking of quarterbacks.
An oxymoron.
It is fantasy football season. Last week we kind of went in and we talked about running backs. This week, as you get closer and closer to draft season, I know I got 2 drafts this week. I'm driving to Houston next week for another draft. Wait, draft season this week? Yeah.
It's an early draft. That's,
I know.
Well, that, you know, I don't want to have that argument. I think the earlier you draft, the better. You want to have your team around training camp, because then you're betting on your ability to predict the future.
It sounds like you've had this argument already.
I just hate, because there's always some asshole in every league that's like, that's way too early, man. That's way too early.
All 3 of us.
Yeah, we're like, what? Like,
no. Well, yeah, because I was planning on having ours for the local league, like kind of closer to the season.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's like, I want to do it Labor Day weekend, you know, so I can have all the healthy players, you know. Like, oh, shut
are they
up,
12?
Man. Like, just take, we're adults,
playing
man.
With Mickey Mouse?
Take the league. do the league like we are football managers. So draft your players as the preseason gets going, so that if you're a football head and you got, you know, you're like, man, I think this third string running back can really be something. You know, think about back when you know, the Redskins had Tim Hightower, they had Alfred Morris, they had a third motherfucker that no one remembers, and people were like drafting Tim Hightower. Whoever was smart enough to draft Alfred Morris had a weapon all season, and his ability to analyze the game was rewarded by the fact that he got Alfred Morris for nothing, as opposed to like drafting around Labor Day when you know that he's going to be the starting running back. That's the point.
So what you're saying is you like fantasy leagues that reward skill and not luck.
Yeah, well, but also there's some luck to it, because theoretically you could have like a preseason injury that takes out a guy's knee, but that's just part of the game, and you deal with that. And
you sound like Ruxin.
I think you. Plus, you know, you have all month to argue about it. Like, August is the most difficult month. The most difficult month of the football calendar year, because you're just like waiting and waiting and waiting for football to start. You know, if you already have your team, if you already have your draft, then you're that much more excited, as opposed to just doing it like Labor Day weekend. Huh. I really dislike that. I'm sorry.
No. That's a good point.
That's okay, how Ruxin. You really feel. That's all right. So anyway, so we're gonna talk fantasy quarterbacks. We're going to talk, you know, when do you take one? We're going to talk, who do you like to be the number one guy? We're going to talk, you know, is Russell Wilson ready to be a top five quarterback now that he has Jimmy Graham in the red zone?
I'm keeping him.
I'm really curious to see.
Top five, though?
What
I'm keeping him in my keeper league.
What you guys think. Here's my first question, and this is just a there's no right or wrong answer, but I just want to know, you know, philosophically where you guys stand. Where do you guys typically draft a quarterback? There's people that love to take one of the big dogs early as the first round when there's years like Peyton Manning coming off of that record-setting Bronco season in 2012. There's years where, I mean, there's just no right way to do it. What do you guys think? What do you guys believe?
Number two. Take a number two.
Second pick?
Yeah, second pick. Because, like, you want to – my philosophy is, like, find a receiver that's really good, like a Megatron for your first pick or an Odell Beckham, because that's a position that usually doesn't get you that many points.
Yeah.
Your quarterback, just the way fantasy football is structured, is built up to get you points. So get a decent one that's serviceable and that's not going to get injured. And you can just you want – I believe in, like, stability of my picks. I want them to just generate points for me every month. That's all I care about.
Adam, what about you?
I usually go skill – I mean, take this with a grain of salt because I've yet to win one. But I usually go skill positions first. So I usually don't get my first-string quarterback any earlier than third round.
Interesting.
I usually try to pick one up around fourth. A lot of – you know, it's hard to say because I kind of base it a little bit off of how quickly some of them are coming off the board. So if come the third round, if the top – I'd say like the top seven or eight are already off – I start to get a little bit nervous, so I'll go ahead and pick my starting quarterback and then just wait for the next round to pick up either my second running back or second wide receiver that I haven't gotten yet. So.
I like that. I like that a great deal. JC, where are you?
I always plan to, because quarterbacks do generate so many points, and once you get past like the top three, it's really kind of negligible. But I do end up always panicking, depending on how my first few picks go, if I end up with a running back that was like third or fourth on my depth chart, and then that's when the panic starts, and I'm like, well, I might as well get a high quarterback now. Yeah. So I usually end up doing third or fourth, but I always plan like five or six.
I just remember last year I picked the Arizona Cardinals second, and JC sent me a text message. Did you mean to do that? And I'm like, yep.
The Cardinals
Patrick
defense?
Peterson, loving motherfucker.
And Tyron Matthew.
Oh,
yeah.
Elliot.
That was I texted him, and everybody in the little chat window was like, is Elliot auto-drafting?
Is he okay? Yeah. Okay, right? Logan, what about you? Are you not, you're only our fucking producer, so your opinion is not as central as the host,
damn,
right?
True.
I'm kidding.
Very true.
I'm kidding. But where do you fall on the where do you draft quarterback? Because honestly, I'm telling you, this is the most, I would say the most divisive argument in fantasy football. It's like, where do you get one of these guys?
I also really tend to draft the players that I like to watch a lot, and so it really kind of depends on who's on the board. I'm a big fan of Peyton Manning. He's just really fun to watch for me, so you know, if he is still available on the board, then I might pick him up earlier in the draft. I think if to kind of in the spirit of the conversation, I definitely am like closer to the second or third pick in the grand scheme of things. But
You know, I have an idea for like a main feature. This is like inside baseball, and Brian, you can cut this out. We could do like a fantasy draft, like draft your favorite football coach, like Coach Taylor, Al Pacino from
Any
Given Sunday.
Any Given Sunday, like, and just we can come up with like a depth chart of like, let's draft our fantasy team.
I think that's fantastic. We'll have to do that.
We have to flesh that out.
But shit, that's such a good idea. I should have thought of that 2 hours ago.
We got time before football season.
But all right. I don't want to be contrarian, but I do think like every year from like 2011 until last year, every league had like one guy that had Adrian Peterson and then Peyton Manning. There were so many teams that were built like that, and those teams were so dominant.
Yeah.
So it seems so easy and stupid. You're like, well, I want Adrian Peterson. I want Peyton Manning. Like, but the people that did that pairing, you know, elite monster quarterback in the second round, elite monster running back early, those teams always seem to do well. Now, that said, I think the most important aspect of fantasy football when you're drafting is filling out your flex. So you go in whatever order, but running back, receiver, flex,
two running backs,
tight end. Yeah, most.
I usually do. I usually do.
Yeah, most rosters are like two running backs.
No, no. I mean, what, you pick the two running backs, one, two.
No, no, no. This is in no particular order, right? Okay. But you just want to fill out your body. So, running back, receiver, receiver, tight end, flex, six players, right?
Mm-hmm.
I never draft a quarterback before the seventh round.
Wow.
I have to fill out the flex. I need that depth because I also think you just get comparable when you play quarterback roulette. You get a lot of comparable results. You know, even people like Geno Smith post those 20-point games pretty consistently.
Yeah.
Even people like Ben Roethlisberger. Obviously, this year he's kind of a top 10, top 5 guy. But look,
sexual assault Ben.
Look, I mean, think about this. You know, if you're in a 12-team league, let's start at number 12. Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Matthew Stafford. All of a sudden, is people are loading him this year. I'd love to have any of these three guys.
I'd take Eli Manning,
and then have a team that's just loaded with surefire starters and build around that.
Yeah, and that's kind of like that was my plan. Like I said, but then panic sets in if I don't really like what I'm filling the team the roster out with, and so I'm like, well, fuck.
Well plus like, the thing you also got to keep in mind is oh, go ahead, sorry.
I was gonna say the one thing that. Does play to some degree some kind of factor, depending on which league I'm in, is how many points you're docked for a given interception. So if it's like a you know a 1 point dock for throwing a pick kind of like that, then picks top I'd say the fifth quarterback and the 15th quarterback is anywhere in between there. Mm-hmm. They're all pretty much going to give you roughly around the same amount of points.
Yeah,
yeah. If you start getting into leagues where you know it's either a 3 point dock for a given pick, then you'd have to start comparing a little bit more about the efficiency of the quarterback.
No Tony Romo.
Right.
Well,
except for last year.
Romo's usually fine. I think, I mean, yeah, like...
But Eli Manning, but in a league that, with something like that, I mean, docks you a decent amount of points.
But guys, dummy.
Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Matthew Stafford. I started at number 12. Like, this is the 12th guy that's ranked across most platforms. And if you're in a 12-team league, you can have Eli Manning plus... a lineup that could give you potentially two big Hulk receivers, you know, a guy like Gronkowski, a guy like Adrian Peterson.
No, you're right.
I would rather have all of those pieces and then play quarterback roulette because
I'd happily take Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know because you're an Aggie, but I would too. I'd love to have Ryan Tannehill on a team.
I think he's
like
gonna have a decent fantasy year this year, actually.
I think so too. And then you get into and that's this one gets really interesting because after the top 15, you know, most leagues are 10 to 12 deep. As we got some 16-teamers out there, you know, we're all in a couple of 16-teamers, but the point is, all right, let's say even if you're in a 16-team league, the number 16 quarterback right now is Sam Bradford running Chip Kelly's offense in Philly.
Oh, wow.
Number 16?
Number 16, right? And that's when it gets sexy. That's when it gets interesting. And that's when you can continue to wait.
Getting hard right now.
I'm getting really excited. That's when you start looking at people like Andy Dalton.
Can he look away?
People like you know what if cause, and you start kind of playing mind games with yourself. What if Robert Griffin III comes back? And what if
I really hope he has a great year?
What if Derek Carr kind of has like a really nice frisky year for the Raiders?
nobody with the last name Carr is going to be a good quarterback.
I mean, he's got a receiving core now, so like he's got some.
See, you can talk yourself into it. What if Ryan Fitzpatrick has some good opportunities as a Jet? Hey, what if Brian Mallett kind of pans into the guy?
But see, I mean,
what if Blake Bortles takes that second step? So the point is, you know, Alex Smith. What if Jameis Winston? He's probably going to start in Tampa Bay. Look at the pieces around him.
Jameis and Mike Evans.
Yeah, Mike Evans.
I think the only Austin quarterback Harris that's going to have an amazing Doug year that didn't is Eli Manning because like he's going to have Victor Cruz.
Well,
Eli actually had a really good year.
Yeah.
Guys, look at who's number 19 and number 20. And these are the ESPN rankings, but again, you know, these are industry default settings. Jay Cutler and Joe Flacco at 19 and 20.
What do you mean?
I
can see that.
The crybaby?
You could load up your team with all sorts of entrees. What I'm saying is like
Flacco at 20, yeah.
The quarterback is the dressing. The quarterback is the salad dressing. The rest of the team is your salad. Why are you taking ranch in the second round? Toss the salad.
toss that salad, man.
So,
like that
man
was romaine.
And you know what? I'm going to put Brian Salisbury on blast because I'm going to let's go look at the inside the locker.
Oh, that's
he
right.
had like Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning, and he was like trying to get cute. His team did not have the muscle power and the endurance to get to the end. Because in the end, I had like Carson Palmer. We had like some Geno Smith.
You beat
love.
Me last year.
But what I'm saying is, why not? And why not just you know get a grab bag of some of these guys that are even on the waiver wire that even go undrafted? Like, why would you ever prioritize quarterback?
I think you make a lot of sense because like quarterbacks are sort of interchangeable, and if you can get a solid depth down to your flex. That gives you a lot more freedom through the year because the draft is the only thing that sets you on your path. It's sort of like, you know, when people get degrees, they're like, well, I went to such and such school. That doesn't matter. It's what you do with your degree is what matters. So it's like your draft only matters for the first few weeks. It's what you do with, like, okay, this player got injured. Am I going to pick that player up right when the waiver wire hits?
Yep.
So and, I can pick up that backup.
I would also say that I think that, like, this is kind of a unique year for quarterbacks because I don't think that you're going to find this kind of depth many other years out there. I think that, like, it's going to be difficult to find, you know, 16 quarterbacks that are going to be solid throughout
the league. Well, I tend to agree. It's an increasingly passer-heavy league every season. And this is not a bad thing at all. But, I mean, obviously, Logan is very transparent about it. He likes the Aggies. He likes Ryan Tannehill, right? But there's guys that, like, love Peyton Manning. There's guys that love, like, I love Aaron Rodgers, man. I love that dude, man. Like, I love those discount double check commercials, man.
He's very cerebral.
Like, I got to have Aaron Rodgers, man.
he's a gym rat.
Yeah, like, he's a gym rat. He's cerebral. Like, let that guy that knows less than you inherently, let him blow a second, third round pick on Aaron Rodgers or on Peyton Manning.
You're, like, next leveling this draft. Like, I'm saying, you're dude, playing the people. It's like I'm watching Rounders.
Let them
do that.
And
that's fucking
that.
Rad.
Let him put on his jersey, man. Let him put on his jersey. Let him put on – and I'm going to take – Carson Palmer, and I'm gonna you know, just watch it pile up.
I just feel like you remind me of Malkovich from Rounders. You're like, I splash the pot whenever I want. I can't do his accent, but hey.
You know what? That was admirable. All right, but so here's the point. So we've talked philosophy. Now I want to get into some X's and O's. We're going to put our flags down, and we're going to sort of go from, like, the bottom of the poll to the top, and I'm going to sort of cluster these guys, and I want you to tell me who you think is going to be the best player from this pool. We're going to start at the bottom.
Just got to work that poll, man.
We got to work the poll because, you know, when you start at the bottom, you build tension, you build suspense.
And then you're here.
And we're coming all the way up to number one. All right. So the bottom of the barrel, right? These are guys that usually go undrafted. Guys from bad teams, traditionally very young quarterbacks. I'm going to give you guys a cluster, and you tell me who you kind of like to do something. All right. Geno Smith on the Jets.
It's a class act.
Ryan Mallett on the Texans.
Jim Rat.
Okay. Blake Bortles on the Jaguars.
Firecracker.
Derek Carr on the Raiders. Josh McCown, the new quarterback for the Browns. And at number 32, Jimmy Garoppolo, the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots.
Oh.
Of these players, who would you like to have? Who would you feel most comfortable?
Josh McCown.
Josh McCown from the Browns.
I think so. Hey, he's on the Browns. He might as well be.
For fantasy?
I mean, if I had to take him for, like, a last pick just on a flyer.
I know. I've heard on different shows, like, people are really high on Derek Carr's skill.
Derek Carr is a guy who I would pick.
Yeah.
And
I like Derek Carr.
Yeah, not necessarily based off of his skill level, but I think one thing you should always take a look at with a given team is how shitty is the defense, especially with the quarterback. How shitty is the defense? Because if the defense is terrible, then they're going to be passing a lot. Like, they're not going to have the luxury of controlling the clock. They're going to be playing catch up a lot. And with Derek Carr having a year under his belt, having actually a decently efficient year for a rookie, considering he's playing for the Raiders, and now having Amari Cooper to throw the ball to, things definitely look a lot better this year for Derek Carr than I think they did last year.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that the contrast to that is if you're behind, then everyone knows you're going to be passing the ball, and so they're going to be playing defense.
Playing dimed.
Honestly, really, I think when a team really wants to put points on the board, when they are, it's really hard to stop a team from completing passes.
It's hard to stop a team, but the Raiders. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think Adam's point is fundamentally interesting, and I think I'm sold on it, right? The idea that Derek Carr is a good quarterback, that people like what he's doing, people like his talent.
Right.
So it's not a bad idea to get kind of wage on his talent and hope that there's enough around him for him to do some interesting stuff. And he did some funky stuff last season. There's absolutely no doubt about it. All right, but you guys, it sounds like we're all pretty much out on people like Blake Bortles, right? Blake Bortles we're done with. What about the Houston Texans situation? Do you guys like Ryan Mallett?
Actually, I'm curious. Mm-hmm. Like, why are people out on Bortles? Like,
I'm asking you guys.
Is it the team?
It's the team. Yeah. And you can make the same argument for Blake Bortles. The fact that Jacksonville doesn't have a very good defense, so they're going to be passing the ball a lot, and they don't have a very good running game, just like Oakland for the most part. So they're going to be relying on him a lot. I just don't see Bortles has the talent to be a top quarterback, but I don't think he has the weapons to throw to, and I don't think he has the coaching staff to maximize that.
Well, it's kind of one of those things, like after his rookie year, people can look at Derek Carr, despite how the Raiders did, and be like, well, they've got something cooking here, and people looked at Blake Bortles in Jacksonville and be like, oh, I'm still not sure.
Somebody's collecting a paycheck.
Well, again, this is I'm aping the statistic from ESPN, but he was one of the top rushing quarterbacks, right?
Blake Bortles?
400 yards rushing, right? He's built like a Cam Newton kind of a player.
But he doesn't score touchdowns.
But his accuracy is bad. You know, Cecil Shorts, Allen Robinson, a lot of talented young receivers in Jacksonville, but no real cohesion. You don't really love the running game. You don't like what's going on there. So you don't see an engine. You know, the running game is kind of the beating heart of an offense, and you don't see that. All right, what about Ryan Mallett in Houston?
I don't know. They lost. Didn't they lose Andre Johnson?
They did. Yeah. I don't think there's enough there. I think it's going to be a team that's going to rely a lot on the defense and Arian Foster. So.
I dig it. All right. Let me throw three guys at you. Tell me who you like. Andy Dalton, RG3, Nick Foles in St. Louis. What would you take from that cluster?
Nick Foles is going to have an off year. Like, I think not being in Chip Kelly's offense, he's going to just plummet.
I like that.
I think Dalton's going to be the winner out of those three.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, he's got the best receiver to throw to.
Yeah. It depends on his weapons, because his weapons tend to get hurt. But yeah,
that's true.
And I love the Andy Dalton home cooking. I mean, you know, Andy Dalton, when you think of the Super Bowl of fantasy, right? That's usually Week 16 for most leagues. Week 16 fantasy, Week 16 Super Bowl, quote unquote, of fantasy football, 2013. Andy Dalton throws 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
You start him that day, you're probably winning your championship. So I love that he's only he's ranked 24th. I mean, he's a lower tier guy, and I'm really excited about somebody like Andy Dalton.
With Dalton, I think you're going to have a whole lot of feast or famine. You're going to have those weeks of maybe like in the teens, then you're going to have those weeks that are like in the 30s, just because he can either be really on or really off.
And you can pencil in. Probably the last couple of years you could, and probably for the next couple of years going forward, you can, like, pencil in 4,000-yard passer.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, RG3, it's like, I don't even know if he's tough enough for this league.
RG3, I think, is somebody who I would be okay picking up in a later round as a backup quarterback, only because the upside there, I think,
very exciting. A lot of upside.
Yeah. There's like a humongous upside with RG3.
Yeah. But we'll always wait on that upside.
Yeah, depending on that health and depending on his maturity level.
Exactly what Adam said. I mean, think about it. You come out of your draft with only RG3. That's a time bomb. I mean, right, RG3 is one of those players that has health concerns, but he's also a quarterback that could very well get benched by week 3.
Yeah.
Right? But very talented, can do a lot, had such an explosive 2012, can do a lot is the operative word there. It could be fantastic. So if he's your backup quarterback, you know, if you get Andy Dalton and RG3, you can kind of mix and match a little bit for a while. All right.
A two QB system.
Yeah. Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, real quick. Who do you guys like more?
Ooh.
Mariota.
Not as a person. I mean, as a fantasy.
I mean, Mariota. Isn't he going to be on Chip Kelly's offense?
No. No, he didn't get drafted by Philadelphia.
Oh, I thought he did.
No. That's why they got Sam Bradford.
Okay.
No, Mariota's in Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's really hard. That's really hard.
I think it's Jameis Winston, no question about
it. Yeah, it's one of those things, kind of, you hear training camp reports and OTA reports that they're like, despite his past, Jameis is doing the right things. He seems to be a student of the game, all that sort of stuff. There's not a lot of leadership exuded from Mariota, and that's troubling.
Yeah, to some people. And I would say,
surprised by that, because he's always seemed like a pretty solid leader, at least for the Oregon team.
Yeah, he definitely seems like one. But again, speaking purely in fantasy terms, who has more toys? There's no question.
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans, Austin Safarian Jenkins, Charles Sims, Doug Martin. Vincent Jackson. Yeah, I
think you're right.
Definitely pieces there.
It feels like Jameis Winston has something to prove. Like, it's sort of like Tyrann Mathieu came into the league after, you know, he was smoking weed at LSU, and like, he came in and fucking worked. I'm not trying to this time, but like, he came in and fucking worked, and he had a great season, I feel like, to shut people up. And I think Jameis Winston's going to do the same thing. Like, this is going to be the first time he's played in a while without anything hanging over his head.
Well, here's the deal also with between those two. Jameis Winston, I don't think there's going to be any question. He's a starting quarterback week one. Mariota has, there's a guy on that staff who started last year. Who did Tennessee get last year? He was a rookie quarterback last year as well.
Zach Mettenberger. Another LSU
yes!
guy.
Yeah.
Come on.
So
hard to talk about LSU.
Yeah. So I think there's that.
Welcome to the LSU podcast.
LSU and Pacific Rim.
There's Bob, and this is Elliot.
I think there's actually more pressure on Mariota. There's more pressure, I think, on Mariota because he's being compared to somebody else on that team who has actually played last year and is still within age range of himself.
I love it.
So I would definitely go between those two. Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
All right, the next cluster. This is interesting. This is a promising rookie starting his sophomore season. Two guys coming off of horrible injuries. A player that was in the Super Bowl not too long ago, and then whole new system, whole new series of coaches: Colin Kaepernick, Carson Palmer, Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, Bridgewater!
Who do you like?
Bridgewater. Wow. Bridgewater all the way. He's gonna have an amazing year.
All right, we got to vote for Bridgewater.
So over there, Bridgewater, Kaepernick,
Colin Kaepernick, Carson Palmer, and not the Sam one Bradford you want to have sex starting with. Field. That's that kind of like 16 to 20 middle of the pack. All right, while you think about it,
yeah,
I'm going to tell you to get Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer is the dude. Carson Palmer, he's that dude, he's like my guy. If Carson Palmer, he's my favorite mistake. If Carson Palmer is playing, he's money in the bank. And boy, like, he's just due for one. Like God needs to open up the skies and say, "You've suffered enough, my child. You get one season of health and happiness."
The Heisman Trophy can't be wrong.
I think even with health, I don't see him putting up major numbers.
Yeah,
I see Sam Bradford. Hell, you know what? Throwing health out the window. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Carson Palmer and Sam Bradford being in the same boat, both coming off huge injuries. Yeah. Both with. Past injury, or history of actually having major injuries.
Yeah,
Bradford playing in the division that he's playing in can pass the ball, and he's going into a system where I think he's gonna be asked to pass the ball a lot.
Yeah, I'm a Bradford guy too. I like him too. Yeah,
I mean, and Carson Palmer, I think that division is just hard to throw in. Right. It's like it's really difficult to complete passes in that division.
So that's kind of where I was conflicted because, like, yeah, health not being an issue, I would say Bradford, but if I were making a pick based on bias like Ramon was doing, I would say Kaepernick.
But I mean that.
I think y'all overrated Bridgewater.
But I mean, I'm not. You know what? I can see Bridgewater actually. I'll play all of them.
We've had a pretty strong, I say, consensus for the most part until here. But here we're very divided, and this is what makes this part of the draft so interesting. And
this is where leagues are won.
This is where leagues are won. Cap, Palmer, Bridgewater. And Bradford, we all feel strongly about one.
And also, my thing is, Kaepernick can't possibly play as shitty as he did last year. But yeah. I mean,
he can.
That's a fallacy.
I guess he could. Yeah, the 2012-2013 season and the 2013-2014 season, what really hurt Kaepernick the following fantasy draft, in other words, going into the 2013 season, going into the 2014 season, is that he just went ham as fuck during the playoffs. You know, he torched Green Bay, ran all over Green Bay. Like, he had these unbelievable plays and runs, and you remember that, and it inflates his value a little bit, and then you don't get that return during the regular season.
Yeah.
Because you're like, man, Kaepernick could run for 80 yards.
Yep.
He could run for that. 80 yards and a touchdown. Yeah. I did too.
He's the anti-Peyton Manning.
And so you're right. This is a good time to get this. You know, Kaepernick may not be. I remember a couple summers ago or last summer when Ron Jaworski, everybody on ESPN, was saying, like, I believe Colin Kaepernick could be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Like, that really fueled his stock.
Jesus Christ.
Now everyone's saying, you know, could he be traded? Do the Niners even want him? Is this his last season? Is he playing for his job? Is he playing for his career? Is this as low as it could get for Kaepernick? So maybe not a bad place to get him.
You know what? The one thing I will say about Kaepernick, that it's the same argument I made earlier about Derek Carr and Blake Bortles and all that stuff. I don't think the San Francisco
finish. Please stall for a good 10 to 15 seconds. I'm going to get a beer.
Cool. Can you grab me one too?
Yeah, I'll get it. Who needs a beer? Yeah, there we go. We're all getting beers.
I'll take some Jack.
Anyway, same argument. I think the fact that San Francisco's the defensive history of everything that happened in the offseason with that defense, like they lost their top two inside linebackers. They lost another one of the defensive linemen to retirement. I think Justin Smith went ahead and retired. Yeah. Like they lost two All-Pros, a backup to the All-Pro, and what's basically left on that defense is Navarro Bowman.
Mm.
And Alden Smith, I think, is coming back, but there's no telling exactly how he's going to perform.
after being arrested so many times.
That's conditional. Okay, anyway, so
basically what I was getting at was I think San Francisco can be a team in which they could be passing a lot. They could be being asked to pass a lot because they're trying to play a lot of catch up.
The way that you framed your description of Kaepernick, it does...
Everyone go ahead, and while we're talking, let's just open our beers. Yeah. All right.
It did make me wonder about the comparison because another guy who... kind of the same boat. Like, can he possibly play as bad as he did last year and kind of playing for his career? Both of these guys signed a big contract. Kaepernick or Cutler? What do you think about Cutler this year?
Oh. He's without Brandon Marshall.
I think the problem with Cutler is always going to be that his decisions are going to be problematic.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, he's always liable to have these meltdown games that you just can't trust. So I've been, you know, 2009 is when he got to the Bears. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything that makes me think that he's going to be able to minimize the mistakes because he there's a Jeff George in him that believes so much in his arm that that he'll just force any throw. And that can really hurt your fantasy team, especially based on your scoring settings when you got 2 or 3 picks a game or you have these meltdown games.
It took longer than it should have, but people in Chicago are even trying to be like, all right, Cutler, shit or get off the pot.
Yep. Like, Exactly. All right. The next chunk, though, I got to ask you guys about this because this is another cluster of four players that is like.
Oh, by the way, did we all take a pick from the last one? You didn't take a pick, Ramon.
I took Palmer.
You did. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I was a Palmer guy. All right. This I got a thing for this cluster of quarterbacks, and again, I want you guys to pick. Actually, hold on, just a minute. All right, Bridgewater, Elliott, Palmer, Ramirez, Bradford, Charles, and DeLeon likes Kaepernick. Logan, who do you like? Break the tie.
I mean, I can pick something you guys have already picked, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely lean Bradford.
Yeah. Bradford. Yeah, you do.
All right. I like that. All right. Next cluster four, and I got a feeling that Logan will be weighing in as well. And this is kind of, again, this is like the 10 to 15 range. Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning, two class of 2004 quarterbacks that have been there for more than a decade. Ryan Tannehill, a player that a lot of is expected from, and Matthew Stafford, a guy that was the first overall pick of the draft.
Damn.
Wow. So, and again, this is the 10 to 15 range. I would be comfortable with any of these guys. I really think that when you're drafting, you have to put away the fan bias, which is really hard to do, and think of quarterback like a kicker. Yeah. Right? Any one of these guys.
Repeat them again? I didn't catch all of them.
Sorry. I'm not going to do it again, Elliot.
Sorry.
I'm not going to do it again because the audience.
Matthew Tannehill, Ryan Stafford, making up names, just mix people up. I don't know.
No.
Dogs and cats living together.
Tannehill, Manning.
Johnny Manziel.
Tannehill, Manning, Rivers, Stafford. Who do you like out of that group? We'll start with Elliot.
Oh, Eli Manning.
Okay. Adam, who do you like?
Stafford. For the exact same reason that I think he's thinking of Eli Manning.
JC.
I like Tannehill.
Wow.
Interesting. Man. Logan, who do you like in that? Who do you sincerely like in that
group? But you're a big Brandon Marshall fan, aren't you?
Yeah. That's right, you are. Yeah, yeah.
Tannehill plays for the Dolphins.
I know. Well, so does Brandon Marshall.
No, Brandon Marshall plays for the Jets.
Yeah. Oh, he's damn now, it. That's
he's
right.
Now a Jet.
Brandon and the Jets.
I'm going to go with Rivers. No, I'm joking. Whoa. Fuck that dude.
Why not?
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Like, or Rivers. Incidentally, you said Brandon Marshall, so I get to say this unprompted. Follows me on Twitter.
Really?
What?
Yeah. Right here, buddy.
Well, we're not here to dap ourselves, but
what's your clout score,
guys?
How big is your e-penis?
I'm with Adam. I think there's really one clear cut answer. He was a guy that was considered a top two, top three, top four pick in the quarterback position last year. That's Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Matthew Stafford is going to throw until his arm gets out.
Yeah, here's the deal.
He's also a local boy.
So. In real life, Eli Manning any day of the fucking week.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the two receivers
in fantasy, Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
Matthew Stafford.
I like Tannehill another year under that offense.
I don't know.
Guessing.
But yeah. I don't see how you can't take the quarterback with Megatron and the year that Golden Tate had last year.
No, I agree. And I think Stafford is like, I think Stafford and Eli are just like neck and neck. But I think what puts Eli over is he has the two and three best receivers in the league behind Megatron.
I like Eli, but I think he's a little bit of a head case.
He's a mouth breather and dummy.
I think that
he's really smart. He's like really into coffee and stuff, and like he's a bright
guy.
He
went
guy.
To Ole Miss.
I think what Logan is saying is on the field, he can be a little bit of head case.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so like he can like if one thing goes wrong, he can ruin up the entire game for him. I actually like if I'm gonna be like fanboyed-em aside, I actually do really really like Stafford. I think he's a solid pick. He just still needs to kind of like find some consistency with his scheme, some consistency with his other like the tools surrounding him. But he has the potential to win it all. But it's just it's a tricky situation.
But I mean, see, that's the thing is like I don't think I would ever take Stafford to be the quarterback on my team if I didn't have to.
Yeah.
But you can't argue with a guy who put up almost two back to back 5,000-yard seasons.
That's true.
And if he has a healthy Megatron and Golden, even if he doesn't
even
have
without,
healthy,
even without even Tron, that,
even without
he
Tron,
can produce.
Golden Tate so what still had an amazing year last
year. I think a lot of people think Stafford is Jay Cutler because of the division, because of the fact that they haven't turned the corner as a franchise, as a team. That doesn't matter. As a fantasy quarterback, I love what Stafford does. He's just so consistent and so money. And he's going to have a better running game. He's going to have better parts around him. He's going to have a healthy Megatron.
So what you're saying is, like, he is Starscream to Megatron. He just sort of tags along. And if Megatron's having a good day, Starscream's going to have a good fucking day.
I love that parallel, and you're absolutely right. All right.
I'm nodding along, because yes.
We're going to talk about two guys that probably we should talk about independently. And this is when you crack the top 10, right? Number 9, number 10, however you measure them. One of them is Tom Brady, right? Perennially fantastic. He's going to be gone for four seasons, but...
Four seasons, huh? Wow.
Four games.
Somebody's been to a hotel.
God damn it. He's going to be gone for four games.
Fucking air, man. But swear to God.
Now, you could theoretically take Tom Brady, draft him in round 7-8, mm-hmm. pair him with Geno Smith, Robert Griffin, Andy Dalton, Carson Palmer, Sam Bradford, Joe Flacco. Like, any
he sounds
of these
like a
guys,
wine.
Pair him with that, and then when Brady comes back, you have this... All of a sudden, you have a top five quarterback plus... If you're smart and you listen to Uncle Ramon, this nice, big, robust team, plus Tom Brady, that is truly terrifying. And that's what I'm recommending you do
listen to
this draft
Ramon.
Season.
T.O. Ramon.
You go and get yourself – listen to T.O. Ramon here, right? Beef up your team, two running backs, two receivers, tight end, and a flex. Then get yourself Tom Brady, and then get one of the cheap guys.
That's very smart.
The Tom Brady thing is going to be an interesting chess match in a lot of drafts because you're going to get to round 8, 9, 10, and – people are, it's going to be like,
well, that's
you
it's about,
the
it's
now.
About where Brady, and that's the, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Right now in most mock drafts, his ADP is, round 8, 9, 10. Get him in round 7.
Yep.
Yeah. Lock him down.
Because he's a trading chip at least.
Well, then it's just a really, now, here's a guy that I'm going to refrain from the conversation because I adore him with all of my heart. And that's Tony Romo, the Dallas Cowboys. What are you guys feeling on the Romo train? A lot of expectations, but less of a running game this season. So maybe, Scott Linehan offense maybe throws a little bit more because he doesn't have DeMarco Murray back there. Darren McFadden's on the pup list already. what are you guys doing with Tony Romo?
I'll get him. I'll take Tony Romo.
I always take Tony Romo.
Okay.
I usually take him for almost the same reason I take Matthew Stafford. I don't know. Like, unless there's going to be huge points docked for interceptions, and even after the year he had last year, I'm not as concerned about his interceptions.
Yeah, but you take Tony Romo just for the offensive line.
Hmm. I mean... You always still worry a little bit about the health. Like he's only missed a significant number of games. Yeah. I think once in his career.
That's 2010.
But still is always like that. He's got that look of fragility to
him.
Well,
he's 34 years old and he has back problems and he's a guy that has to take Toradol before pretty much every game. This is like a painkiller they give like Marines that have.
That's why I don't have a lot of patience for people. Like I'll make fun of Tony Romo every now and then, just out of fun. But I don't have patience with people that talk shit about Tony Romo too much because it's like, that man takes fucking painkillers to fucking do his job. Yeah. Let's see if you would still do your job if you had to.
He plays with a broken back and no ribs. Yeah. I mean,
there are some quarterbacks where I'm just kind of like, depending on if they could fall in my lap or not, I know he's good. I know he puts up the numbers. He's just not somebody I would take.
Yeah, and again, I would recommend you don't take him either because, again, this is what Matthew Berry says every year, right? I want to be the first guy to take a quarterback or I want to be the last. In other words, build up your team
or take a top quarterback, but don't be the guy that takes like a middling, potentially high level guy, and that's where Romo always falls.
Yeah.
So because of that, I always almost kind of exclude myself from the Romo conversation whenever I can. All right, two more tiers here, right? This is kind of like any one of these guys could be the number one scoring quarterback in fantasy, but going into fantasy season, they are just outside the tippy top, right? I want you to tell me who you like. Big Ben. Some unbelievable numbers.
Yeah.
Is kind of a dick. You know, kind of a dick in real life. Allegedly, reportedly, we don't know. Drew Brees, everybody adores him. But boy, you know, they're kind of redoing the Saints offense a little bit. They shipped out Jimmy Graham. Is he still going to be the guy? Matt Ryan, that Atlanta offense could be
Matty Ice.
Unbelievable. And Cam Newton, ooh, you know, Michael Vick plus health.
Yeah.
Equals Cam Newton. So, and not because they're both African American. Well, not because they're African American quarterbacks, but because they run and produce on the ground. So, on a good Cam Newton day, you're getting 100 yards rushing in a touchdown, plus 200 yards passing and two touchdowns, and you have yourself a big fantasy.
I think
day.
You're right.
Also, plus guys, about 100 pounds too.
Yeah. But the RB, he is the premier. I think right now the premier RB, like,
I know, I think hybrid, you're right,
QB in the league, fantasy wise, yeah,
is ready to take the next step this year.
So you like Cam Newton?
Like Cam Newton out of all of them.
This past season was the first year that Cam didn't finish in the top five as a fantasy quarterback, and so he's probably going to bounce back. But I think out of that group,
but I mean, this is also last year was also the first year they didn't have Steve Smith. So
right,
The crazy thing about some of these quarterbacks, and you know what? This is something I think that Drew Brees is to some degree kind of immune to.
Mm-hmm.
I really do think you can almost put nearly anybody around Drew Brees, and Drew Brees will have a great year.
Yeah.
So I think amongst all those, if I was to go with consistency, and I would be more comfortable taking Drew Brees over any of those.
Yeah.
But even without Jimmy Graham, because he's been without Jimmy Graham for many years and still put up 5,000 yard seasons and 40 touchdown seasons.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to look past Matty Ice in that offense. Like those weapons.
Mm. Yeah.
It's very easy to look past Atlanta because they always choke.
Well, but again, that
I don't care if they lose.
That doesn't matter to your fantasy team.
It's true, but like they seem to give up mid year.
We got Julio Jones injuries. We have. I think Matt Ryan in that offense is really, really exciting. And so certainly the highest upside. I'm sorry, JC.
I feel like I'd go with Roethlisberger.
And it's hard to look past him, too. Yeah. And it's even more so with the fact that, again, I don't think the Pittsburgh defense is historically not nearly as good as they have been it's not the Steelers defense of the past decade. So it's a team that can be. They maybe haven't played a lot of shootouts, and they're going to be without Le'Veon Bell the first couple of games. So
Big Ben was a league-winning quarterback last season because he finished at the very, very top. I don't know if he was number one, but he was toward the very top of the scoring quarterbacks. But he came into the season ranked outside the top 10.
Yeah,
he's sixth in according to the ranking. People
forget about him,
but. No, he's ranked sixth in the ESPN.
I'm looking at how they finished last year.
Oh, okay, so he finished sixth. All right, but he was ranked outside of the top 10. Again, you know, you outperform your average draft position, and that's what wins you a league. And he had some monster concentrated games where he was just unbelievable. Big Ben, 4,900 yards. Drew Brees, 4,900 yards. 33 touchdowns for Drew, 32 for Big Ben. But here's why I like Big Ben. Drew Brees threw 17 interceptions in 2014. Big Ben threw less than 10. I think Big Ben, dude that we don't like, but in just about every single draft, because you don't like him as a human being, he's going to be cheaper than Drew Brees if it's between those guys. And it is for me. I'd rather have Big Ben. So we got two votes for Big Ben.
Cam Newton.
One for Cam. What, Matty Ice?
I'm going Matty Ice. Yep.
Logan, who you got in this cluster?
I kind of like Brees, but man, it's a really tough decision. If you're forcing me to it, I'll say Brees.
Love it. We are now at the very top of our board. And again, if you love quarterbacks, if you want to have stability, the position, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just aggressively selling my position, and I apologize for being kind of rude. But rude. If you
fuck
want,
you, dude.
If you want,
how
yourself,
dare you, sir?
If you want to pick a quarterback in the late first round or second round, potentially third round, you can get one of these four guys, and they're all probably going to be money. But we're splitting hairs. Who do we like the most? Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson, Andrew Brees. Excuse me,
Andrew Brees,
Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers. Right, Rodgers, Luck, Wilson, Manning. These gentlemen need no introduction. Who do you guys like?
I'm actually surprised that Wilson is that
needs
high.
An introduction.
Wilson's sneakily high. It's a it's a weird thing considering how
I mean
the
I know
Seattle franchise seems to be treating him like he's almost disposable. Like,
well, he's sneakily high because he can run for 1,000 yards.
Right,
right.
I gotta go with Manning. There's just too much track record there, and like. He is the quintessential fantasy quarterback because he's going to get you great points through the season, but he's not going to win a playoff. He's not going to win his playoff games. That's just he got his Super Bowl, and that's great, but he just sort of chokes at the
I think there is something to be said for the fact that the last 2 years, Peyton Manning guy cruises into the playoffs, but then gets Peyton Manning at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that has to weigh heavily if you're looking into investing a third or fourth round pick on Peyton Manning. Logan, what about you? We got, you know, Rodgers, Luck, Wilson, Manning.
I think we should also note that this all really depends on the scoring system of your league, of course.
Sure. Caveats.
Yeah, exactly. I really...
Mtor, even.
Answer the question, sir.
I would direct you to answer the question.
Oh, shit. All right. I'm getting lawyered here. I actually, among this group, I think you can't ignore Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is just a freaking badass and continues to be so. And if he's available, you know, and dropped below the third round, you gotta pick him up, man.
I don't think he'd last that long.
Would never last that long. But if the second round.
Yeah, anybody going out with Psylocke, you need to pick.
Well, but that's, you know, yeah, Aaron Rodgers in the second round as the number one rated quarterback going in is kind of a value, so maybe not a bad idea. JC, you're stewing like you got some takes. Where are you at?
I like Andrew Luck. He's got some new additions this year.
You're channeling Brian right now.
No, I think listen to the way people talk about him. Listen to the way people talk about Luck and people talk about his skill. It's not his fault that he's had a shitty offensive line the last few years, but he's with the weapons they added this year. I like it's razor thin between Luck and Rodgers, but I'm gonna go with Luck.
Yeah, between the two, I would say Luck as well. I mean, there's no denying the fact that Aaron Rodgers is playing quarterback better than anybody has ever played quarterback. Like the last 4 years,
there's plenty of denying.
No, there is no denying.
There's plenty of denying. But
Manning at his peak.
Well, that's not an argument for it. What you're saying is that Aaron Rodgers is the undisputed best quarterback in the league, undisputed best fantasy quarterback in the league. But is there a but?
There is a but. Like,
ooh.
There's the like
a big old but.
I would take Aaron Rodgers any day of the week to lead my team. But Andrew Luck, something about what it is that they may be asking Andrew Luck to do from week to week just makes me think that Indy is perfectly comfortable giving him the ball all the time and mm-hmm. asking him to throw over 400 yards and four touchdowns, and they'll need him to.
Yeah,
whereas I don't see that Green Bay may have the same situation.
Yeah, I mean, right. Green Bay has a younger, you know, and this is something that Roto-Viz wrote. Green Bay has a younger Marshawn Lynch.
Uh-huh.
So, mm-hmm. you know, Eddie Lacy, a pretty damn good running back that's going to get a lot of goal line touches. I'll tell you what. This is the movie-themed geek sports podcast, Inside the Locker. By the way, you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/, just look Inside the Locker on Twitter. Obviously.
At ITLcast.
At ITLcast.com.
At ITL Elliot.
You can follow us on twitter.com/ITLcast. Here's the point.
Elliot will tell you where to go.
Yeah. I do feel like we haven't talked enough about just general culture and movie, blah, blah, blah. But here's the point. Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers, the number one and the number two, right? Who would you bet on being healthier longer, Clark Kent or Bruce Wayne?
Well, Clark Kent.
Healthier longer?
Exactly. And Aaron Rodgers – is coming off back-to-back seasons where he's dinged up, missed significant time in 2013. Again, Eddie Lacy's eating his carries, and Aaron Rodgers is giving up a lot. You have to get a lot. You have to give up a lot to get Aaron Rodgers.
I have three words for you. Discount double check.
Discount double check. Andrew Luck is cheaper, more resilient, the undisputed centerpiece, and in a year wherein Aaron Rodgers, 2014, Aaron Rodgers was the MVP of the league, Andrew Luck still outperformed
you
him.
You make him sound like
in
a
touchdowns
car.
And in yards and in rushing yards. I don't think it's close. Andrew Luck is your number one. But again, this is a trick question, fellas, because if you are drafting Rodgers, Luck, Wilson, or Manning, then you're doing it wrong.
Says you.
I think I'm sold. I think I'm just.
I'm just saying. Like,
I'm pretty sure that Ramon just sold me. I'm not drafting a quarterback this year. So
just not at all. It's the taco draft. I'm gonna have seven kickers.
Man, in my keeper league, I was playing. Fuck it. I'm still keeping Andrew Luck.
Well, see, because I mean, that's the thing is like, if you take Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers, if you take any of those top five quarterbacks, and you compare them against the next top five, the difference from week to week is maybe 5 points. Like, from on average, maybe 5 points, separating the top five from the next five.
Yeah.
If the top five running backs versus the next five running backs after that could be significant.
At this point, you're talking statistical analysis. You're like, what can I get? What's the best value for my pick?
Right. It is. Like, I mean.
But see, y'all are going next level. And like, I feel like as somebody who's like, who just learned how to do fantasy football a few years ago, like, y'all prey on the new people because they're like, yeah, I know Peyton Manning. Pick him first. You're like, fun. Pick him first.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pick my workhorses.
Yeah, seriously. Because you have to get two running backs and you have to get two wide receivers. Mm-hmm. And with there being, and not that, like, there is a bevy of wide receivers, but the fact that you have to have two of them on your roster.
The depth goes,
like, it goes fast. Yeah. I mean, like, the top.
No, I've noticed.
Yeah, like, there's maybe, I'd say, there's about as many great wide receivers for fantasy purposes as there are probably quarterbacks. No, but the fact that you have to have two and you have to start two, possibly even a third if it's going to be your flex, then if you can get a jump on somebody and getting two guys who are going to get you a consistent 20 points a week, that gives you a significant edge over somebody
you make a great point because, like, if I'm – honestly, if you're really into it – sorry. I tapped the table.
You're fine. Don't worry.
If you're really into it, like, you might want to just take a tight end first because those go really fucking fast. Because a tight end could be a point suck your entire year.
Is that going to be next week? Because, like, tight end is kind of a –
We'll talk about
tight ends. Interesting
tight end receiver will fold into one segment, or I don't know.
Elliot did bring up an interesting point in that be wary of people giving you advice. If someone in your own league is giving you advice, don't listen to it.
Yeah,
because they're just trying to fuck with you. Like one of my favorite commercials of all time is from Reggie Bush's rookie year for promoting ESPN Fantasy of that year, and he's sitting next to one of his teammates, and his teammate is up next to draft, and Reggie Bush is like, you're not going to draft me? I'm your teammate. That's messed up. And he drafts Reggie Bush, and Reggie Bush is like, man, that's stupid. I wouldn't have done that.
That was great. It was really fun. You know what it was? It was the Larry Johnson year.
Yeah.
And so, like, Larry Johnson from the Chiefs was the undisputed number one. Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
and
yeah.
he's like, I can't even go number one in my own buddy's league. And he's like, okay, you're right, Reggie. And then Reggie's like, I got Larry Johnson. That was a great. Oh, great. Sorry.
No, I'm interrupting you, but you see, like, how messed up my sports references are. When you said Larry Johnson, I just meant Grandmama. From like the Hornets, back in '96.
No, you're right. It's Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson from the Chiefs.
It is Larry Johnson.
Right?
Yeah.
And Larry Johnson of the epic 4-point play against the Pacers in Game 3 of the 1999 NBA Eastern Conference.
Basically,
final.
If you want your child to be very good at sports, name them Larry Johnson.
Their last name can be whatever. Yeah, like if you, I don't care what your last
Larry
name is.
Larry Johnson Urie.
Yeah,
Larry Johnson Urie. Yeah. All right, so we've covered the quarterback position about as comprehensive as you can cover it. Jesus Christ, Logan. It's time for our social media beef of the week.
It's Ramon versus Logan.
Final battle. Fight.
And, of course, this week, the social media beef of the week, it's Drake the rapper against Meek Mill the rapper.
And we can tie it to sports because Drake did a really interesting thing. He released it on SoundCloud, and I guess SoundCloud, you attach a photo to make it like your album cover. It was a
It
was a picture of Joe Carter from the Toronto Blue Jays hitting a home run over the Philadelphia Phillies to win the World Series. It's one of the most epic baseball plays of all time.
Yeah.
Drake is from Toronto, and Meek Mill is from Philly, so I thought that was pretty brilliant.
Well, we got a problem. We are recording this on a Thursday night. It's not going to run until Monday. 50 minutes ago, Meek Mill just put out his response track. No.
Really?
Before we go any further,
yeah, let me listen to this bullshit.
Let's listen to this, and Brian is going to chop that. We're just going to listen to. We're going to listen to this right now. Now when that shit went down with Chris, you wrote a check. In New Orleans, with my chain, they give respect. So with that, tell me you a pussy in a fan. Set it around, sit, you know the shooters at your neck. I just wanna know if you ain't right there running through the six shit. Tell us who the folks quit running through the six with. All right,
Meek Mill was saying the most random shit ever.
A buddy of mine on Twitter just compared it to like when Swaggy P shot a three-pointer and then it walked away.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay, so the consensus. So we have just heard this for the first time. Brian has edited a CDQ version, condensed it to about 50 seconds, so that you've gotten an essence of what this is about. And
you don't even need that long.
Yeah.
So here's the issue.
Right? I just want to know.
Meek Mill versus Drake. Now, Meek Mill is a seasoned battle rapper that has eviscerated foes previously, that has gotten to his point like a mob boss in the sense that he's had to put down other guys to get where he's at. Drake is an actor turned entertainer that dabbles in hip-hop and is obviously a big part of the game. Why was this a close battle? And why did Drake kick his ass so vehemently? Elliot, I'll ask you.
I think he did just because he had to. It's like when you are – if you're fighting somebody and they are below where you are at and Meek Mill is transparently trying to take – I can't believe I'm saying this in a serious conversation. He's trying to take his shine. That's all he's trying to do. Like, because Meek Mill is probably a little bit salty because people only really think he's anything because he's dating Nicki Minaj. And he's like, well, I got to go out and attack somebody. That's only – like, so if somebody's coming at me trying to take my fame – saying they're better than me, I'm going to fucking destroy them. Even if I don't feel like it, because like if you listen to Back to Back, he's like, look, I didn't even want to do this, but you made me. I have to do this shit. And like his last line is like, I'm going back to The View. And that's his, like, I think it's his tour coming up. It's like, I just want to go back to work, and you are fucking distracting me.
You know what? To some degree, I kind of feel like this was, I remember when somebody was interviewing Robert Ory, and Robert Ory was... because Big Shot Bob, it's like, what's going through your head? What allows you to, at the exact moment which, you know, everything is on you and you never fail to hit the shot, like hit the shot. What is this going through your head that allows that to always happen? He's like, honestly, it's the fact that I just really don't care. I've completely accepted the fact that I'm not Jordan, I'm not Kobe, I'm not Shaq, I'm not any of these guys.
Yeah.
If I miss...
It's not going to be a big deal.
It's almost like expected I'm supposed to miss.
Yeah.
So there's this calmness to me that allows me to be the best me at the highest moment, because at the highest moment there's no pressure on me.
It's just unconscious.
Yeah. I kind of feel like it's sort of the same situation. Like, there's no pressure on you to, like, have to respond. Like, I don't want to do this, so I'm just going to do it, and I don't give a shit. Kind of thing.
I love how much serious thought you guys are giving to a rap. I really do. JC, what do you think?
Well, because like listening to Drake's, like it's, I mean, it's easier to comprehend. Meek Mill was just kind of yelling into the mic, yelling random things, like I saw on Twitter. But there were a lot of just really smart lines in Drake's track, like, you know, talking about how if he looks, when he looks back on this, he's going to be mad at himself for paying it attention.
Well, you should think about this when Nicki tell you y'all be better as friends.
Right. And he makes reference to, is it a world tour or your girl's tour? Because Meek Mill's opening for his girlfriend. Like, that's,
well, let me ask you
some clever shit.
Just real quick, you know, because I'm relatively new to the oneofus.net family. Like, who is like the oneofus.net rival? Like, who do you guys like? Go,
man, that's some drama filled shit. That's all I got to say.
It's an interesting question, seeing as how the way the site started.
We can tell you off.
Let's hear it. Let's air it out. This is an inside the locker exclusive.
That's true, because if anything's exposed, it's not like it can't be edited out anyway.
That's true.
So, yeah.
And you know, actually, for subscribers.
Yeah, I actually don't know as much about it. Elliot probably knows more about it.
Elliot, just tell the damn story.
No.
All right, give me a name. What's the name of the site?
Hell no.
Come on, give me a name of a rival site.
Well, because
it's not really a rival.
It's just site disbanded, so we
it's,
can,
yeah,
we can
it's, say there yeah, was, there, the site there technically was, doesn't exist.
There was a site that used to exist that, this is the way I know all the people.
Yeah.
It's how I met Brian and
Brian's
Chris and all of them.
Brian's laughing his ass off right now.
Yeah, Brian, edit this shit out.
Hold on. No. What was the other site called?
It was called spill.com. Like, I found spill.com.
I don't even think you can find it anymore.
It was like 5 years ago. I was at my ex-girlfriend's house, and I was just hanging out. She had went to sleep, and I was like, I was just looking for, like, just surfing around on YouTube, and I found Spill, and it was like this really popular site. And then
I used to watch Spill.
Yeah, and it disbanded, but it disbanded in a very drama-filled way.
Spill.com?
Yeah.
All right, so real quick, we got the official. This is hot. This is a Funkmaster Flex World exclusive. We got the official Spill.com diss track, and here it is. We got it right here. There's a diss track right here.
Oh, God.
Okay. What you thought Spill.com was going to come through and start some shit on oneofus.net? Y'all really? Oh, man. Hold up. Hold me back, dude. Spill.com. All right, let me go in. Hold up.
Brian's going to edit this shit.
Hey, yo, spill.com. WeTheBomb.com. Inside the locker, man. We the future right now. Mo Mirrors, I don't give a shit, man. I'm putting shit down. I got the laptop. I don't give a shit. I put it down.
Mo Mirrors,
I ride around you downtown. I hate everybody. Blat, blat. I got crazy gas. Mo Mirrors, bring it back. I'm drinking brews. That's the lager Thursday night. Spill.com. Thought they could come in my house. Mo Mirrors, yeah, I come in your girl's mouth. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, you know, I'm from the damn South. That Texas, man. You know, you got to represent the South. H-Town. Yeah. Other cities in Texas. My home mirrors, yeah. Other cities in Texas. Fuck spill.com.
Yeah, we're going to edit that part.
Is that it?
We got to edit
this. That's the official spill.com.
Damn.
I just heard it. It was really good. I feel like we went in on spill.com. I think we really heard spill.com.
Well, it's not around anymore.
Spill.com.
Which is great, so they can't fight back. Yes.
Fuck spill.com.
Man, you...
Jesus, all right.
Boy, that was a mean diss track.
Okay. I tell you, I will bet you money Brian's going to edit that out. I'll bet you $20.
I don't think we said anything too. I think the sites that have spawned from it, we have a friendly relationship.
Oh, we do.
Like Double Toasted.
No, I went on Double Toasted a few weeks ago.
I don't know what spill.com is. But that was a mean diss track.
But this is equally genius. At the Whataburger's official Twitter, 13 minutes ago, did tweet.
It was all fuck spill.com.
Meek Mill, take at Whataburger. Meek Mill, take it from us. If you're going to serve beef, serve it high quality.
Oh! Oh! The official Whataburger said that shit? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I know this sounds stupid to say, but when a fast food chain is dissing your rap track, you're done. It's over.
I don't think we have to talk about this anymore. I feel like, without a doubt, Whataburger won.
Whataburger won.
Great.
Well, Whataburger won the top cheeseburger in America contest, apparently.
Well, because it is.
That's true.
They're just flexing.
They're flexing. But remember, insidethelocker.com, this is a no-flex zone.
Boom!
So, all right.
We actually love spill.com.
We actually do. We're just fucking around.
I don't know anything about spill.com. I take your word for it.
Well, there are virulent fans who, if you say anything bad about Spill, they will come out of the woodwork. People don't even listen to our podcast. We'll just show up.
Dude, there's like a guy that like,
I love Corey Coleman. And
like yeah, there is a guy. Like, there are guys in Austin who live here who will just show up and be like, I hear you talking shit.
Yeah. don't let it be translated. All right, so guys, I think we were at the end of the show. Did we miss anything? I think this is the end of the show.
No, we're good.
I think it's a good show.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah. Good show. We'll try to do our thing next time. Thank you for hanging out with us, and everybody have a wonderful night. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Did we miss anything?
Do it. I just love how it veered into like abstract nature at the end. I love that. I'm not being sarcastic. That was so cool.
We just don't like spill.com.
It's like the longer it goes on, the more alcohol takes effect in real life. Yeah. Man, fuck it.
It's also the harder it is to edit out.
I feel like the more tedious you make it for Brian to edit out, the easier it will be that. Well, but now that said, like Funkmaster Flex hit me up on Twitter and was like, hey man, here's the official spill.com diss track. You know, like get it out there, make sure the people know. So
So
I would also like to note for the record that I was not aware that this would be debuting on the show.
The official spill.com diss track. All right, everybody, we'll see you next time and have a great great week.